Good evening and welcome to this special holiday edition of the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, September 2nd, 2019. At tomorrow night's Moscow City Council meeting, the council will vote on approving the conceptual plan for Harvest Park, which would be developed on 4.1 acres on the south end of the city, where the public can harvest food growing from trees, shrubs, and other plants. Bernardo Wills Architects developed the plan after holding two community input meetings on the park. On today's show, we'll hear Moscow Assistant Parks and Recreation Director David Schott presenting the results of the planning process before the City Council's Administrative Committee on Monday of last week.
So I just want to start off with, this is an exciting and a very unique project, so I get very excited about this. So I've got a little bit of a longer presentation, but I'll get through it pretty quick. I'm just excited for it. So anyways, I wanted to start off with a little background. On April 2nd in 2018, Council approved 4.09 acres of parkland exchange through a dedication agreement with the intent of creating an edible forest park. Prior to that, the Moscow Tree Commission was talking about the idea of an edible forest, and at that time they were looking at carving out part of an existing park or along the pathway. Coincidentally, around that same time, a developer was looking to donate some land to the city. This piece of property wasn't really suitable for a traditional park, but it might make a good site for an edible forest. So we brought that idea to the Parks and Recreation Commission, the Tree Commission, and the Pathways Commission, and everybody liked the idea. So with that, I developed three kind of initial goals to get us started, the first one being officially name the park, which we did in March of 2019 after 35 nominations and a recommendation from the Parks and Rec Commission and the Tree Commission. We wanted to develop a conceptual plan, which we're working on today, and then develop a management plan for the park. So the Tree Commission is really the lead commission for this project. As part of that, we developed a working group of local knowledge, the core development team, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But there I'm working on how are we going to manage this unique park. So I think everyone's familiar, but this is the Harvest Park site. The new PD is going over here. Sorry, Catherine. In this site here. So we're off Highway 95 off Southview Avenue, the Grove Apartments being right down here. Just a picture of the site. If you haven't seen it, it's historically a wheat field. And so, So the vision statement. The core development team I mentioned earlier developed a vision statement that was approved on October of 2018 by the Moscow Tree Commission. I'd like to read this just because I really like this vision statement. Harvest Park is a long-term dynamic landscape. This unique space is intended to provide educational opportunities and an example to our community of stewardship of a public food forest. This unique space will create a sense of place and community pride for the city of Moscow for generations to come. So early on, we were trying to figure out what the elements of an edible forest park are. And so here's kind of a bullet point list. Low maintenance, that would be good from our perspective. We'll have irrigation in there. There might be vistas with picnic tables. Good to be accessible throughout the park. Community gathering place, pesticide-free as possible. Some that aren't on this list would be a locally grown food. Many educational opportunities. That's really the focus of this park, is the educational opportunities. And it's really about community involvement. So knowing that, we looked, our next part was hiring Bernardo Wills, which we did a professional services agreement with in November of 2018 to guide public engagement and develop a conceptual plan. The conceptual plan is a high-level overall plan for the park that is flexible over time. And so as part of that first thing, we did a public workshop number one on December 19th, 2018, where over 30 people attended. During the first public workshop, Bernardo Wills educated the public about the site to prepare participants, to kind of set them up so they can give us feedback. They looked at comparables. So this is Beacon Food Forest in the Seattle area. They looked at existing conditions, for example, prevailing summer and winter winds, the solar paths, summer and winter. They also looked at slopes, which the site has some topography to it. They also looked at opportunities and constraints. So they evaluated opportunities. Those might be viewpoints or some of the flatter areas. Some of the constraints might be some of the steeper slopes, the water booster station. They also described the differences between a community garden and an edible forest. They discussed the principles of an edible forest, for example, stratified planting components, different layers of vegetation, your canopy, subcanopy, shrubs, herbaceous perennials, and ground covers. They looked at programs and amenities. And finally, they tried to categorize the park into different levels to try to draw from the public on what they wanted to see out there. Level one was basically your three canopy layers. Level two would be your polycultures, which is a little more advanced. And then your level three would be advanced succession principles. So after they educated the participants in the workshop, they broke them into six groups, and this is an example. They gave them a blank map and said, design the park, and this is really a tool to gather that public input. So this is just one example of the six that was submitted by the different groups. So Bernardo Wills took what they heard in the public workshop. There was also an online survey that we had 122 participants and developed two conceptual alternatives. The first one being more of the level one, level two, the little more basic. And then the second option was the more level three, the polycultures, or level two, excuse me, with the polycultures and level three with the advanced succession. The Tree Commission really preferred option B. It was more in fit with the vision. They also really liked the idea of concentrating what we're calling the human elements down at the entry of the park off South View. So overall, they liked option B along with the agroforestry and permaculture principles. So during the second public workshop, Bernardo Wills recapped the project thus far and described the elements of the draft master plan on January 16th. And this is what they had presented. Level two agroforestry polycultural approach, restroom staging area, accessible parking, bins, mixed edibles with support species. An amphitheater education area was really important throughout the whole process. Themed edible forest rooms or planting schemes by zones, viewing areas, accessible pullouts for benches. And then one thing that's been recurring through this process as well is trying to retain the water on site. So the concept of slow it down, spread it out, store it, or sink it. So that was getting us pretty far through the conceptual planning process, but we do have a concurrent project going, and I just wanted to touch on that briefly. So Bernardo Wills originally was doing the conceptual planning to incorporate the booster station. Very late in the game, that booster station alignment had to move a little bit. And so I would note on this conceptual plan, this booster station here has now shifted down to the south. The content of this conceptual plan hasn't changed, but some of the locations of some of the features in that front area will change. So, but that was the booster station there. And so we decided to kind of separate the two projects instead of incorporating into it. So long-term development, Harvest Park will be developed, it's really important, incrementally as funding allows over many years. This thing could be years, it could even be decades. So it is important to establish a cover crop to prepare the soil and reduce weeds until the area can be ready to be planted. We are anticipating heavy involvement from the community for donations of plant material and maintenance of the park. For example, one of those themed rooms, a group may adopt that area, provide the fundraising for the plant material, plant the area, and then maintain it. And, of course, we would recognize that contribution in some format, maybe perhaps through a plaque or a stone. There's also likely opportunities for grants. Long-term development of Harvest Park must be flexible and rely on the experience and expertise within our community and the core development team. So our core development team has kind of the academic side, and we've got the people actually farming ground. So we've got a good mix in there. So with any project like this, for the conceptual part, we looked at phasing, phase one being this area, phase two, and phase three. It's very likely that phase one will be broken up into phase 1.1, 1.2, 1.3 as funding allows. And we may just crack off a little piece at a time and start working our way up the hill as our budgets allow. So for this purposes of the conceptual planning, these are rough order magnitude estimates. But for initial development, that phase one, that reddish area, we're looking at about $197,000 for infrastructure. Phase two, which was kind of that upper part, we're looking at 58,170. And then for phase three, kind of that lower area would be about $55,800. And so we're looking total about 311 of rough order magnitude cost estimates. Like I said, this is going to take years, and we'll chip away gradually as we can. So our timeline, we're at the administrative committee meeting today, council next Tuesday, September 3rd. It sounds like the water booster station, we're anticipating that to be constructed next year, but that may be a little bit longer, next year, 2-3 years. After that, we're looking at initial development of the park once the booster station is in, possibly planting some of the vegetation, the trees and whatnot, get some of those things started that are going to take a very long time to start producing what we want them to produce. So, the Parks and Recreation Commission and the Tree Commission both unanimously voted to recommend the conceptual plan for Harvest Park at a joint special meeting we had on July 10th, and it's our recommendation to approve the conceptual plan for Harvest Park. With that, I'd be happy to take any comments or answer any questions, and thank you.
Thank you. I have some questions. It has to do with the fact the parks group has asked for an arborist for the past couple years in the budget. With the kind of oversight that is going to be needed for those people that are going to make donations and then want to work on the land, how do you propose... Without an arborist, will it just be you overseeing them, or?
It's a great question. So yes, I will be overseeing it, and I am an arborist. But we also have developed that core development team that has a lot of expertise in this very thing. And so, for example, they're working on species lists right now for cover crops. So we do have a lot of knowledge out there and people that are excited about this project. So I think we'll be relying heavily on our community for their input and to help us maintain it as well. So
you're an arborist?
Yes.
So then why has that been in the budget as a request?
Because the plan was to have a full-time arborist to manage the urban forest. David has a lot of duties, and certainly both he and I believe Dwight's also an arborist. We have expertise. We just don't have enough time to give it. The Tree Commission wanted to put a comprehensive plan together for the urban forest, which they would like to have a full-time arborist to manage that. And, of course, David and Dwight would oversee that position.
So that's still out there.
It was one of the department's goals for several years in the strategic plan as well.
Would you consider that infrastructure for the Parks Department when we were talking at the budget workshop about...
Consider an arborist being infrastructure? We don't refer to personnel as infrastructure, but...
But you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I understand. Is it a base service that they provide?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think clearly when we when the council passed the tree ordinance, clearly they intended to protect and manage the urban forest. But like many programs, we have a lot of programs, we stretch our people pretty thin. So should the funding show up at some time that we're able to do that, I expect Parks and Rec will continue to bring that forward and we'll assess it. And when we can afford it, I imagine the council will budget for it.
Okay, thanks.
I have a question if I can ask one.
Yeah.
In this preliminary design, are these all sidewalks? Or pathways?
Pathways, yep.
And so maybe I misunderstood. Is the entire development estimate at this point $311,000, including the pathways?
For infrastructure, the pathways, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Will you tell us a little bit more about the core development team? Can you tell us kind of?
Councilor, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, please.
So we've got a working group trying to work through the management plan on this. The goal is by the time the park's ready to be developed that we've got a management plan. This is how we're going to manage the park. And so we've got a representative from the Parks and Recreation Commission. We've got two from the Tree Commission. One of the members of the Tree Commission is also a professor at the university in landscape architecture.
Yeah.
We've also got another gentleman from the university that's got a lot of plant experience. And then Deborah Berman is on the board of Rural Roots and actively farms with these types of principles. And then, so we've got a good group.
I will admit that was a softball for you. I think it's a pretty solid, well-chosen group. So,
thank you.
And I'd like to see them get a little sunshine, too. So if you could kind of throw that out there, maybe in, when we talk to council, that'd be cool.
So what are they going to be having regular meetings, or is just an as-needed with that group, or over the years?
We've got a standing meeting every couple weeks, and so we talk hour and a half, and then next meeting. So I've got those scheduled for first and third Thursday of each month. And so schedules are an issue sometimes. So.
Did you want to add something to it?
If I could, just a little clarification on Gary's question on the path. That path, the cost that is in here does not include a concrete path through this whole thing. Mm. That would be, you know, way over $1 million. The way this thing will work, and I'm guessing, and this is just me guessing, is that this thing will probably evolve as we go and reality sets in on some of this. Initially, we wanted to make sure this whole thing was accessible, which, you know, I mean, that's what you want. And it would be really nice if someday we can finally get there. But we'll likely use crushed granite as a surface. That's still ADA. It just takes a lot more maintenance. And we'll start that at the bottom. And when we can afford to hardscape, then we would. My guess is that eventually, when we get to those upper areas, that'll prove to be more than what the city would want to put into that cost-wise. So that's where you end up with your larger trees, the nuts and things like that. And so that would be an area that would not be at least wheelchair accessible, if that's how it ends up. It's pretty steep, and once you get into there, it will likely require, when you have to start terracing and putting in retaining walls, and then the sky, the price just skyrockets. You can do retaining walls with logs and a little bit of riprap if you're using that granite, and you do a lot of things that way. But a good concrete, type ADA sidewalk is just not. It would be astronomical. And so anyway, the concrete stuff will happen slowly, surely, as we can afford it. Otherwise, we'll be using the granite, crushed granite, which is a good surface too. So make it at least affordable, and mm-hmm. so we can at least expand up. So anyway.
It'd be a little more permeable too, as far as water and that sort of thing too. So
yeah.
Maybe it's not such a bad.
Yeah, I just didn't want you guys to have the impression that this included
crushed
that.
Rock was so kind of clear. I was kind of picturing some of the paths on the really steep parts of the arboretum up the sides that are like almost mulch or something. But anyways, I'm sure there's all kinds of options that the group will be looking into.
And technologies will change as time goes. Like Dave said, this is a long-term deal. So, I mean, a lot of us are going to be long gone from the city by the time they get to that point, but still got to plan it. And,
exactly.
And you never know. Never know.
So, see, even at crushed granite, I thought that $311,000 is a pretty good estimate.
That's still good. But at the same time, it's not all at once. It's
right.
All over time. So, anyway, thank
awesome.
You.
I just had a question about the reason you'd put in that you saw people pledging and saying we're going to take care of this spot. Mm-hmm. What's the? Do you have like that written out how that's going to go?
Councilor Bonzo, that's a great question. I just use that as an example out of thin air.
Oh, okay.
The core development team. I think we've got some time to work through some of these. How we want to accept that type of stuff. That was just one idea of probably many different ideas.
Oh, I thought maybe you'd had seen some other people. Other cities that had done those types of things, so maybe that you had already had some ideas in place.
Right. I've seen I was in Oregon City at actually a tree training, and they had an area that, had a metal tree that everybody's name that donated had their name carved out of it.
Yes,
and with the plaque and stuff. So those are many different ideas. We're not down that level yet. We're really still at the conceptual phase right now. So
I have a couple questions. So you talked about the ground cover and a need to get something in there, it sounded like kind of soonish. And is it just, it's just grass now, right? Like kind
cover.
Of.
Yeah, he's talking about a cover crop.
Right, right. That's
yeah. Sure. At some point, we got to look at budgets and funding and stuff like that, but I'd like to get a cover crop down. This is on the advice of the core development team. Two primary reasons. One, we want to start preparing the soil for when we start doing kind of our stuff we want to keep. And two, if you got a good cover crop, your weeds aren't going to infest quite so badly. So we've got this transition period between wheat field and when we can start development, and there's some years in between there. So that's the thinking right now.
Do you know yet, if maybe it's too early, if that would also be a gradual process of replacing the wheat with the ground crop, or once that's decided, is the whole thing going to happen?
Ideally, it'd be nice to do the site. Mm-hmm. That way we can, you know, keep that soil going. Mm-hmm. So,
I have one other question, too, about the top. There's a little mark for a top access point right on the curve from Indian Hills Drive.
Yeah.
And right now there's a bike lane there that's relatively new, so no cars would be able to park there. I guess my only comment is when the time gets closer to be, I guess, talking with, you know, the streets and neighbors about, what does this mean for that bike lane? I know there's already Transportation Commission, it has come to them, and there's some people that are not happy with it, so some people that are, but I think it's already currently a particular spot of discussion. Okay. So this also kind of adds another element to that,
right.
You know,
certainly.
If you want people to access it from there, but they can't park up there.
Just a quick follow-up, yep. Councillor Sullivan. So the primary access from the beginning will be down off Southview. It's going to be a long time before we're up at Indian Hills. So, but a good point that we've got to consider. So.
Are we going to do like we do with our other parks? Is it going to get some signage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, you know, people start.
Right. It'll get a park sign. Yeah. I haven't got to that level of detail yet, but yeah, we'll definitely have some signage. Something we've heard throughout the public input was interpretation of those educational opportunities, so I'm sure some of that will be built in as well. So.
Well, it's a great project.
Yeah.
I have one other little question. There was a picture of the road, and it had these little black triangles across it. What were they? It's not this slide. It showed a little more to the east. Oh, wait. See those? Crossing Indian Hills Drive right there, those little, what are those black triangles? Up right on the curve,
right
up
here.
More to the northeast corner of that map. Yeah, right there.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm okay. Sorry, I do not know.
Plenty of time. There's some down there on,
yeah, what is it?
I think they're survey stakes.
I don't know, but maybe for the next presentation that okay. comes to the council.
I will look into it.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So, recommend approval of the conceptual plan.
Yep.
Regular agenda so everyone can see the presentation. Right?
Yeah, I like what Gina said about that core group. Mm-hmm. It's nice to know who they are.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, appreciate it.
Yeah. David, thank you.
That was the Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee discussing approving the conceptual plan for Harvest Park, which would be developed on 4.1 acres on the south end of the city, where the public can harvest food growing from trees, shrubs, and other plants. The discussion took place at the Administrative Committee's meeting Monday, August 26th. Moscow Assistant Parks and Recreation Director David Schott presented the results of the planning process, and you also heard from City Supervisor Gary Riedner and City Council members Brandy Sullivan, Gina Taruscio, and Catherine Bonzo in that segment. The Harvest Park conceptual plan will be on the regular agenda for tomorrow night's Moscow City Council meeting, which begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. The Moscow Human Rights Commission is conducting a series of surveys called the Voices of Moscow in order to pinpoint issues of concern to target communities in the city. Moscow high school student Daphne Yuxel, who is the student representative on the city's Human Rights Commission, said on the KRFP radio show Peace Radio yesterday, Voices of Moscow will ask what people feel is the most pressing issue in the city pertaining to inclusivity, civil or human rights, and also how people regard the future of the community and if they have stories about conflict in the city or a story about the city in general.
What we're really aiming for with the Voices of Moscow is at the end of this, we're hoping for it to be like an interactive art exhibit. That's like the goal that I had when first coming to Ken Fonts with this project idea. For anybody who's heard of, like, I guess, Humans of New York.
Yes, I love that.
Yes, I love it too. Essentially, what we wanted to have was some of these most influential responses, which I brought some with me today, like have one voice read them in like sort of a monotone voice and have people able to come into somewhere we're thinking of like Kenworthy or maybe Pritchard or something and have like a day-long event where people can come and listen to what other people find is something that they want addressed in Moscow. Because some of these issues are really specific to like their workspace or again civil issues that don't regard the Human Rights Commission, but it's also a good way to find unity in the community with people who find the issues to be really similar to what they want targeted. So,
nice.
Yes.
So did you want to share some of your responses so far?
Yes. I have a couple. Some of them, I think, again, are a lot of them are targeted to like accessibility and religious issues within our community. But other ones are, I think, something that a lot of people would overlook. And other ones are questions like the one that I'm going to read right now. For example, this person said, "Does everyone across the political spectrum feel truly included, respected, or listened to?" So, I don't know, when I read that, I sort of felt really intrigued, especially from a student's perspective. I think a lot of the time in our community, people can think that we have a lot of resources. We obviously have a lot of resources as well to share our political ideals with people around us, especially the UI being one of those places. But I think a lot of the time people can be overlooked with their political ideals, and this is just one, I don't know, issue that also corresponds with religion within our community. And I think it's interesting to think about your answer to this question and if you've ever particularly excluded somebody in conversation because you don't respect them or respect their ideas on a certain issue.
Wonderful.
This one is written by a student. It says, "We obviously have a civil real estate war going on between fundamentalist Christians and fundamentalist hippies. This community is a perfect microscopic representation of the current state of the nation." I thought that was really interesting, and I'm not going to say much on that, but the next question that they answered was, "I find it difficult to feel a part of this community as a young professional with an advanced degree, and financially I have struggled for 10 years trying to find a way out of this place. I'm paid enough to live relatively decently, but not enough to pay off debt, save up, and get the hell out of here. I would like to either find a way to fix this place, or I'd like to see more opportunities for advancement for people like me. I've been in churches in Moscow, I've been in the music scene, I've done the drugs, I've been in every clique here, I've watched groups implode. I've heard people talk time and time again about creating communes. To me, this signals that I'm not the only one who feels isolated here. People want to connect with one another, and every time we find a way to do it, it breaks, or it leads to some radical ideology that only polarizes us further. I don't know how to unite us. I think that's a large part of what divides us, is the lack of unity." And I'm just going to stop because it gets a little more vulgar at that point.
Thank you.
But I think it's sort of interesting to think about how there are a lot of people that are responding to Voices of Moscow, especially at the time that we're going to get high school students and University of Idaho students involved in this survey that you ordinarily know in your day-to-day life, but you maybe don't know their perspective on the community. And I think that's a good question to ask. Like, how do you visualize Moscow? How do you feel about Moscow? As somebody who's lived here my entire life, I know there's a lot of questions that I can answer that maybe are not the same as my closest friends or my family. And that's solely for the reason because I try and engage with the community, but there's a lot of different people that you can meet, and Moscow is not just a really uniform place to live.
That was Moscow High School student Daphne Yuxel, who is the student representative on the city's Human Rights Commission, speaking on Peace Radio on KRFP yesterday afternoon. Yuksel said the Voices of Moscow surveys will likely be available at several locations on the University of Idaho campus, the food co-op, and on bulletin boards around the city. That's it for this special holiday edition of the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a great evening.